B-Pod Studios.
I'm just making it up. Totally making it up.
98.5, the Sports Hub.
From the Town Fair Tire Studio, it is Phil Grimes on 98.5, the Sports Hub. Your Alexa smart speakers and simulcast on NBC Sports Boston. For the final time this week, it's Jim Murray in the A-hole chair, joined by Christian Arcan in the Maz chair, and Tim McCone, Bloodless McCone, over in my normal spot. And you, if you'd like to join the show here on an agenda-free Friday, 617-779-0985. The phone number in agenda-free Friday is driven by the Bernardi Auto Group, where car buying is always agenda-free. You can choose from new Acuras, Audis, Hondas, Toyotas, Volvos, and over 500 pre-owned vehicles. Bernardi for now, Bernardi for life, BernardiAutoGroup.com. Let's go to Dennis, who wants to talk about the Patriots, who still look thin at wide receiver. They've missed out on quite a few players already at that position that they were in on. Go ahead, Dennis. You're next here on agenda-free Friday on Felgren Mass.
Yes, hi. Thank you for taking my call. I just wanted to, I don't know what the Patriots are waiting for. I mean, I would snatch up Jody Nelson on a one-year deal and get that receiver that is a veteran who can, you know, I mean, playing with Rodgers before, I'm sure he's a great route runner, great hands. You sign him for 1 year, and, you know, that's what they need to do. I mean, I don't know what they're waiting for. To bring a rookie in and to try to get a rookie to, I know Jody Nelson isn't going to know the playbook or anything like that, but I'd much rather have that veteran in there then, you know, have a rookie coming in. And
well, Dennison, thanks for the call. At the very least, they need more depth, because right now it's Julian Edelman, reigning Super Bowl MVP, who's underpaid. We know he's a stud. Mm-hmm. And then you have Philip Dorsett, who I'm glad is back on a one-year deal, Arcan, but
caught the only two touchdowns Brady threw in the playoffs.
He's at best, I think, a three-ish type receiver. You still need a solid number two. Maybe that could be Jordy Nelson, but I don't know. Beyond that, you have Bruce Ellington, Maurice Harris, who actually might be able to catch on. I don't know. So maybe I'm buying too much into the pro football focus stuff. But it's a lot of roster fodder outside of Edelman and Dorsett. They kick the can on Nelson. Maybe Michael Crabtree. Something. They need someone else.
Yeah, I think they do, and it's certainly, I mean, listen, when you talk about the Patriots and the things that they need, everybody always sort of ends up looking stupid by the end of the season. Oh, they needed this, they needed another linebacker, they needed all these things, and they end up winning the Super Bowl anyway. So, I mean, going into it, you have to take that with a grain of salt. But when you're looking at this Patriots team right now, this team that's sort of morphing right in front of our eyes into sort of a more run-heavy team, mm-hmm. you know, you have to have at least someone. And I know that's been sort of the argument. Well, they don't need as many wide receivers. The emphasis isn't on wide receiving anymore. Now they're going to be handing the ball off and going more to the flats and, you know, short passing game and things like that. Fine. But you can't tell me that Josh Gordon, even with all his problems, didn't help this team a ton this past season. He did. He was the reason why he won some of those games. And I just sort of look at it and think, you know, you might want to just dial it back on the whole idea that this team is evolving into just a run-first, run-only team. They're not. And they're not going to be. And the league's not like that. It's not conducive to success in this league, I don't think. So whatever they end up doing, I think we'll probably end up being okay with it. But it just sort of seems like they're dragging their feet on a lot of guys that I thought would have been good fits.
And you feel the same way on this, McCone. You feel like they've whiffed on some of these guys that they have had interest in, whether it's Adam Humphries, maybe Golden Tate, or Randall Cobb.
Yeah, and you go through the history of the Patriots, and generally the guys that succeed in this system are guys that they target early on in the first couple days of free agency, or go out and acquire in trades the first couple days. Probably Randy Moss is the one outlier that was a little late. And so to me, it feels like one of those off seasons where now all of a sudden they're either going to draft someone and hope that they stick, which has not been, they have not had a great track record of recently, or they're going to bring in a lot of vets like Jordy Nelson who are on the back nine and you're hoping stick. And again, how many guys have we seen that come in with that and wind up getting cut in the end of training camp or just flat out disappointing throughout the season?
Let's go to Tom in the car, who wants to talk NFL overtime rules. Hey, Tom.
Hey, guys. What's going on?
Not too much.
I got the answer. Everyone's going to love this, I'm sure.
Okay.
So here's what it is, right? Instead of a new period where you kick off and you're worried about touchdowns and field goals, turnovers, and all that stuff, why don't you just do this? Game's tied. Clock hits 00, and then you just keep going until the next team scores. You got a clock, soccer style, counting up 15 more minutes, extra time. If you go 15 more minutes, nobody scores, it's a tie. whatever happens after the clock hits double zero is the end of the game. So it doesn't matter if it's a field goal, touchdown, anybody turns the ball over, it doesn't matter. Once somebody scores after double zero, it's over.
Yeah, but you know how many ties we'd end up in the NFL? And yeah. I love the chaos of ties because they seem like they make people so angry. Was it last year or two seasons ago that we had more ties than normal in the NFL? Might have been last year.
There was a couple this year.
Back-to-back, I think.
Yeah, I think it was this year. Oh, I want all the ties because people get so crazy pissed about that. But is that good for the sport? No.
No.
No, just leave it the way it is. Leave it the way it is. Jimmy Stewart, executive producer of this very show. You might want to get back on the mic there, sir, as it being an agenda-free Friday. I told you, we'll take calls on just about everything. We have, I believe, our third wrestling-related call today for one Jay Stu.
Hello. Yeah.
Al in Tewksbury. Hello.
Hey, how's it going?
Good. What's up?
Yeah, I wanted to talk to Jay Stu about Seth Rollins at Mania.
All right, go ahead.
Do you think that Seth Rollins is actually going to be able to burn it down this year, or is it just going to be another huge push for Brock to basically walk away with the title? Thank you.
I think Brock Lesnar is going to retain at this very moment.
What am I in store for in this Monday Night Raw that I'm going to with you guys on Monday night, Jimmy? Because I brought up earlier today on the show, I went to one of these with you guys. Andy Wong of the Kowloon was nice enough to invite me that time. Same again this round. I don't really know what the hell I'm watching. It's been decades since I've been hardcore into wrestling. What I know right now can fit into a thimble, but I did find it entertaining. What am I in store for? What are the matches of the night that are really going to pull me in?
So I think the dark match is going to be the last time the Shield is together in Boston because they've kind of taken Dean Ambrose off the television. But I think what you're going to see is more build for Mania with Seth Rollins appearing there, not Brock Lesnar. I still think Brock is going to retain at WrestleMania because they have this whole Saudi Arabia thing and they got $53 million. They being WWE, pronouns pal, got $53 million from Saudi Arabia. And the prince supposedly loves Brock Lesnar as the Universal Champion. So he's paying for Brock Lesnar to retain at WrestleMania.
More importantly, what kind of Sarge are we?
I love Arcan's reaction to this. He just thinks this is a hoot.
The Crown Prince of Saudi Arabia wants.
What kind of
Brock Lesnar?
They're carnies. You don't understand this. They're carnies. They will go to the highest bidder.
What kind of Mike Sarge Riley are we going to get on Monday night? Because I've heard this on Zoe and Beetle the last couple of days and I've seen your tweets that apparently Sarge is selling himself to the crowd. If you Venmo him $30, what, he'll come take a photo with
I
you?
I said is that as a joke. On Twitter.
But now this has actually devolved into something real?
And I will push him out the door so he can go make money.
What is he doing?
He's going to be in full, yes, sir. Hi, sir. Can I take a picture with you, sir?
Yeah, for those that have never met Sarge, let me tell you, like what you hear on the radio.
Want to hold my belt?
It's what you get in person. It's not a bit. That's really him. But, I mean, if people are into the station in India, Sarge, don't charge for it. Well, I'm giving it to charity. Just take the damn
thing. Isn't his catchphrase, no charge from the Sarge?
Exactly. Yeah.
Well, that's for what he gets. He doesn't get charged for anything. That's no charge for the Sarge.
Oh, don't charge. Sorry. I see what it is.
I'll give the man credit. Nobody hustles like that, dude. It's like he is out there.
He has like seven part-time jobs.
Really does. Pounds the pavement, shakes hands, kiss babies. That's how you're going to get it done.
Salutes people.
He does give you the salute.
He DJs at a night, too, and I've wanted to go to it so badly, but I can't because, actually, you know what? You can go tonight.
Oh.
I could go to Sarge's DJ thing tonight. I think it's Friday night.
You should go.
I think I might do that. I have no plans tonight, yeah. Shockingly.
He does trivia.
Yeah?
Yeah.
I'm gonna light it up.
I've been at one of his trivia events. It's unique.
I'm gonna watch those asses drop. Come on out. See the Sarge DJ. Let's go to Tyler in Manchester. As a
Bruins Murray, you'll have fun on Monday night.
Oh, no, I know I will. I had fun the last time, and I didn't really know what the hell I was watching. I actually kind of like being, you know, the novice asking the questions like, what, is this like the Japanese Michael Jackson? That was Shinsuke? Is that who it was?
Shinsuke Nakamura.
Yeah, so I found him entertaining. I liked Jinder Mahal.
Modern day Mahara.
Yeah, I find some of it very entertaining. I know I'll have fun on Monday.
Thank you.
Tyler in Manchester with the Bruins Thought. Hey, Tyler.
Hey, guys. How you doing?
Good. What's up?
I just quickly wanted to touch up on Torrey Krug and the Bruins.
Mm-hmm.
I think Torrey Krug needs to pass the puck a lot more, and he needs to start taking shots to the net.
Well, Tyler, if nothing else, he at least needs to get himself healthy.
Yeah, right. He needs to get back on the ice.
And it sounds like you're with Arcan and I, and that they're better off with him than without him, because that started to pick up a little steam in terms of debate. And I can understand you can make your case in terms of the defensive liabilities of Torey Krug, that they're better defensively without him. Yeah, that's obvious, but they still need him out there, and they certainly need him on the power play. I just wanted to give an update, because if you were listening to the top of the hour in the Hub headlines with Tim McCone, the Red Sox have announced that Chris Sale is a scratch tonight, you know, so this coming off the heels of the big deal today, the five-year extension, you might hear that and be like, oh my God, he's already hurt. No. He's a healthy scratch from tonight's start. No word yet on whether his next time on the mound is going to be, but obviously want to get something in before his opening day start in Seattle. Coming up, you know, as I think about that, because the Baseball Reporter starts when Maz returns, Mike and Maz return on Monday, but the Baseball Reporter starts on Monday. Like, I don't know how you guys feel, because we've already had baseball games that have been played in Japan. Like,
oh, have we really? Yeah, I hadn't noticed.
Right. Yeah, like, I'm not ready for the Major League Baseball season at all. It really still feels like the Red Sox just won the World Series against the Dodgers like 3 weeks ago. So, I don't know. Like, you pumped? What are your expectations for the team? We'll actually do a little bit of a roundtable. How about that here? Coming up next here on an agenda-free Friday, Felger and Maz, whatever you want to weigh in on. See, we've already taken wrestling calls. So if you got WWE questions for Jay Stu back there, have at it.
It's like a special edition of Wrestling Inside the Ropes, which is my normal weekly podcast.
Check it out at 98.5thesportshub.com. Download it. Is it still the most downloaded of the podcast in the Beasley Media family?
As far as original programming, yes, sir.
Take that, other podcasts. Okay, more of your calls coming up here on agenda Free Friday, Felger and Maz, 98.5 of Sports Hub. Felger and Maz.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Picking five of Carrie Underwood's best music videos was no easy task, but after some debate, we landed on five we believe rise to the top. Did Carrie's 2014 hit Something in the Water make our top five? Find out when you text Carrie to 45911 and scroll through the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Carrie to 45911 to get your eyes on our favorite Carrie Underwood music videos.
Making sense of Boston sports.
There's no catching and no throwing. Anyone can play, no matter how hopelessly unathletic they are.
Felger and Maz, 98.5, the Sports Hub.
Celtics up 69-58, Tommy, off a 39-point first quarter from the Celtics, and Kyrie Irving was getting it done, wasn't he?
You know, when we talk about leadership and everybody questioning his leadership, you just saw leadership in that first quarter. I mean, he was not going to let the Celtics wander around. He got them immediately into the ball game, and they were playing very aggressively and very smart.
I'm definitely taking some games off for the playoffs. It just makes no sense to put emphasis on these regular season games when you know you're gearing up for some battles coming in the playoffs.
Quite a juxtaposition in leadership there when it comes to Kyrie Irving. Tommy Heinsohn, though, he's dug in. Love him. But, yeah, leadership on the court, sure. Yeah, I mean, look, he's a brilliant basketball player, but off the court he continues to be stubborn, ignorant, annoying, and certainly not much of a leader, especially when you're saying that kind of thing ahead of the game that you ended up losing, which I thought was big in terms of seeding to the Philadelphia 76ers. But to Kyrie Irving, whatever. Let's see in the playoffs. Seeding, cares about that. I can't wait to take games off. Felger and Maz, 98.5 of Sports. I'm right to you here on an agenda-free Friday. I want to talk Celtics, Sox, and the news of Chris Sale and his extension today. Mookie Betts saying see in a couple of years. Whatever. Bruins, have at it. 617-779-0985. We will go to Eric in Newton with a Patriots-related thought. Hey, Eric.
Hey, guys. Everything that I'm hearing is suggesting that the tape of Bob Kraft at the Day Spa is public record, and there's no way for his legal team to stop that from coming out. And if that does come out, I think it'll be pretty damning evidence for the NFL to use to impose sanctions against the Patriots. So with that happening, how close are we to having a real conversation about Bobby C handing the team over to Jonathan and just kind of squashing this whole thing?
I mean, this has started to pick up steam, at least in regard to callers, the last couple of days, Arkand. Yeah. I mean, that might be the best in Robert Kraft's best interest in terms of and not having the limelight on him. And if this tape sees the light of day, if he essentially, I don't know, goes into hiding, might not be the right term. But if he's out of the public eye for a while, maybe that's the quickest way to have this thing go away. I can understand where he's coming from and that he is fighting this because he does not want that tape to see the light of day. He does not want to be embarrassed by that. But is that the answer? Is the transition to Jonathan, does that mean he can't be punished by the league? Will they carry it over to Jonathan? Like, there's that might be his best interest. I don't know.
That might be a good sort of preemptive strike, I guess, if the league wanted to come down on him and say, hey, you can't, you know, what they did with what's his name in Indianapolis there.
Ursay.
They said, you can't be up at the games and we're going to suspend you and you can't be part of it. If they go after the Patriots and like draft picks or things like that, then that's a huge overreach, I would think, anyway.
Oh, yes.
But a definite preemptive strike for Kraft could be, you know what, you guys, you can do whatever you want to me, but I'm giving it over to Jonathan. It's time anyway. I'm this age and ready to retire and sort of, you know, leave these things to him. And you want to continue to punish me, that's fine. I'll take it. But just leave my team out of it because I'm not doing that anymore. That'd be a good way to sort of get out ahead of that,
yeah.
Of that aspect of it. The video, I mean, that's coming out. Forget that.
Yeah, boy, and I don't blame him for not wanting that out there as a businessman. Like, if you're a Tommy Lee type rocker, especially if you're packing heat, like, hey, whatever, the world sees this, no big whoop. But as a businessman, like, and, you know, what he's established throughout his career, he doesn't want that. From another thing the caller said, the NFL doesn't need the tape. They don't even need a guilty verdict to punish him. It's
right.
Still going to come down. And in Robert Kraft's case, too, like, I don't think that he wants to walk away right now. He still continues to go to, you know, big events, whether it's a boxing match, UFC events.
He was on stage twerking with Cardi B before the Super Bowl.
Right,
I mean,
yeah.
Like, he's fine.
He hangs with Meek Mill. Like, he's out in these streets. Like, he don't want to walk away just yet. So that may be punishment enough if he has to have the transition happen now. We've already taken some WrestleMania-related calls. We will continue to do so, it being an agenda-free Friday, and we have Jimmy Stewart behind the glass. So David and Newton, you're next here on Felger and Maz.
Hey, guys. How's it going?
Good. What's up?
Good. So my question really for you guys is, what WrestleMania match are you most looking forward to and why?
Jay Stu?
Ronda Rousey defending the Raw Women's Championship against Becky Lynch and Charlotte Flair. I'm looking forward to it because there are so many variables of who could win. Of course, I want Charlotte Flair to win, but Ronda being the former UFC fighter, Becky Lynch on this incredible run of momentum, and Charlotte Flair just being the dominant force in the division for 4 years.
I'm glad you just brought her up. Ronda Rousey, how have the wrestling fans like yourself taken to her? Because I found her insufferable towards the end of her UFC career, Jimmy. And she goes on to, I think it was Ellen with her crocodile tears. I think she's so fake. She rubs me the wrong way so much. But the wrestling fans dig her since, you know, she's transitioned over there?
So initially they did. And speaking for myself, I was impressed with her WrestleMania performance last year in New Orleans and her subsequent matches going forward. More recently, because Becky Lynch just got this organic fan support and WWE paired Becky and Ronda in the same program, the wrestling fans, the hardcore wrestling fans, kind of turned on Ronda, mm-hmm. including booing Ronda in her home venue of the Staples Center in Los Angeles during a match with Charlotte Flair. And so they have turned that into a story of Ronda is now turning against the fans when she was initially in support of the fans.
Good. Good. I'm glad the people have turned on her. I don't know what it is. I just think she's so fake. Oh, I can't stand her. So
too good. Fake for wrestling, huh?
So supposedly Vince McMahon,
good point, Arkin,
in bringing her in said, you know, smile more to the people. So she did. And she had competitive matches instead of having her come in as this UFC shooter and just dominating everybody. And now you're getting more of that. Ronda's upset at the fans, and now she's just rolling through everybody, including at one point she said a line on Raw a few weeks ago about, you have to pay $60 now to see my armbar.
You know what? While we're doing this, Shane in Rhode Island, here's another wrestling-related question for Jay Stu. Hey, Shane.
Hey, Jim. Hey, Christian.
Yo.
I'm with you, Jim. Ronda has been rubbing me the wrong way. But I don't really follow wrestling too much now, but I did before, and I wanted to know, Jay Stu, if there's going to be some old guys that come out at WrestleMania, or is like Gronk coming out at WrestleMania? Or is there going to be anybody that like I pay attention to that I used to pay attention to?
Yeah. Are there any like Hall of Famers going to be there? Will Hulk Hogan make an appearance? Anything like that? Jimmy?
Hulk might. I think the big return star this year is Batista, and it's Batista fighting Triple H in a no holds barred match. Batista, I think, is the second choice because the WWE initially wanted The Rock, and The Rock's cost is too much right now for them. So they went with Dave Batista.
He of the
Guardians of the Galaxy.
Yeah. I knew when I watched that, it was years later. Finally, I got around, like, you know, I watched that movie because it was on cable the other day. I was like, oh, I'll finally get around to watching this. People have said good things, and it was entertaining. But I remember seeing it. I was like, oh, I know who that is. And sure enough, yep, Dave Batista.
Hey, you know what I learned today from Jay Stu and Billy Lanning? You know you can bet on wrestling? Like, there's odds on wrestling. It's like betting on a soap opera, basically. But you can bet on who's going to win WrestleMania. And I was blown away by that. Because if you're part of the people who write the storylines, why not just tell your friends, yeah, bet on this guy. I wrote him to win the thing.
Like reputable like sites like Bovada and things like
that. I don't know about Bovada, but I believe
Bovada is one of them.
That's wild.
Isn't that crazy?
But yeah, they max out. You can only put like $200 on any one thing.
Oh, okay. All right, well, that makes sense.
Still.
Sort of.
but so a few years ago when Brock Lesnar beat The Undertaker, the line at Bovada shifted from Undertaker as a heavy favorite to Brock Lesnar being a favorite.
That's a wild scene, man. And that's one of the reasons I'm going Monday. I was invited by Jay Stu and Andy Wong and the Kowloon crew, and I went before, and it's I loved it as a kid. I used to love going to the old garden. My dad would sit there and roll his eyes and be like, I can't believe I'm at this. But I loved it as a kid, and my mom was way into it, too. So it's still a good time, just not into it the way I used to be. But I can appreciate it for what it is, Jimmy, and I'm pumped to go on Monday night just to see the crowd and see, like, it's madness.
It's a unique experience, Jim.
It certainly is. Before I take Mike and Woburn's call, would you do me a favor there, McCone? Would you reset your opening thought of the day here today?
I apologize to Mike Felger because the Boston Celtics lost the Kyrie Irving trade. I was wrong.
It takes a big man to admit that. Even if I end up coming around to that side of the table, I will never admit that because that's the one, like you, McCone, when he said it, it made me the most angry. But Mike,
is he going to ball gag you now? Is that what's going to work?
Mike and Woburn, hello.
Hey, listen, as much as I love Hacksaw, Tim McCone's takes on basketball and bringing the violence back to it, I don't know how you can say, literally, the next game Kyrie Irving has, he could go out to center court, take a giant dump, and never play for the Celtics again, and they still would have won that trade. How many months did we have to listen to Felger talking about, when is Danny going to make some picks with the make some trades with these picks? Let's just draft another guy. So basically what he's saying is the Celtics should have just drafted at number 8, kept broken down Isaiah, and kept all the other flotsam and jetsam that amounted to nothing aside from a salary cap dump that LeBron actually got for the Lakers. And that won Cleveland the deal, that Cleveland is better off without actually keeping Kyrie Irving. He's only looking at this from the Celtics standpoint. If Cleveland actually said, you know what, LeBron's going to leave us anyway, maybe we should hold on to Kyrie. Don't you think they'd be better off as a franchise? It's the most moronic, asinine, Adam Jonesian take that Felger's come up with. I don't know how how he can even say with a straight. It's actually what I think has prompted his take amnesty line from the last few months, where he doesn't want to get to the, he's sent to the take Hague for being absolutely moronic about this deal.
Gee Whalakers.
The take Hague. He really is a broken man. And credit to, you know, as whiny and oversensitive as Patriots fans can be by and large sometimes, it's you who broke them. So pat yourselves on the back for that. Like, really, like, he's a broken man. Jimmy, you would admit that. Like, how he'll just defer. Well, you know, I'm just doing my job. I'm deferring. I'm just trying to facilitate the conversation. The man's been terrified. He's been cornered. He won't there. You can't get a take out of him anymore.
He's scared of me saving the tape and playing it back.
Yeah, it's around this time.
Or there's another commercial being made.
The Bruins were running the commercial around this time last year.
Oh, that's
too
right.
Young, too
that.
Too young.
Mm. Yeah, who was right on that one, by the way?
Ultimately, Mike ended up being right on that one.
So I don't know what the fear is.
Yeah, but boy. Lately.
So shouldn't the Bruins issue an apology video?
He's got, like, take PTSD. Maybe he's getting himself right with this vacation. Of course, Mike and Tony return on Monday. We have a few more segments to go here. We have Tim McCone getting you caught up with the Sports Hub headlines, the latest and what's going on in the NCAA tournament today. The big news on Chris Sale. We'll get you caught up on that. And then we return. More your calls at 617-779-0985 as you drive the show on an agenda-free Friday on Felger and Maz 98.5 The Sports.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Picking five of Carrie Underwood's best music videos was no easy task, but after some debate, we landed on five we believe rise to the top. Did Carrie's 2014 hit Something in the Water make our top five? Find out when you text Carrie to 45911 and scroll through the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Carrie to 45911 to get your eyes on our favorite Carrie Underwood music videos.
Felger and Maz.
Oh.
98.5, The Sports Hub.
1, 2, 3, 4.
Just had a thought. It's Felger and Maz, 98.5, The Sports Hub. Murray and Arcan in for the guys today as we come back with the great Ramones. There's no way they could make Rock and Roll High School in 2019, right? There's no way, because they blow up the school at the end.
Oh, yeah.
And right. Look, I've somehow carved out a decent enough career for myself, even though I barely graduated high school and I went to like a fake college. So maybe I'm an outlier. But I know like that movie got me so pumped as a kid. And it came out, in 82, when I only would have been like 7 when I first saw it. But
came out in 79.
Oh, God. Oh, my God. So yeah. I would have been 3. But I was definitely like 5 or 6 when I saw it. But I remember being so excited at like when they blew up the school. I was like, yes, screw school. There's no way they make that now. And it certainly is still influential. You know, obviously, had quite an influence on my young, impressionable mind. But I was so into that. But, man, there's so much you couldn't get away with now. I'm going to see Norm MacDonald tomorrow night, who's at the Wilbur for a couple of shows. I know Billy Lanny's going to some. I was listening to – I got, like, caught in a vortex on YouTube of listening to some of his old stuff that he did on SNL as, like, the news anchor on weekend update. again, like Michael Jackson jokes, you would never be able to get away with now, even, you know, stemming from all the fallout from these documentaries they put on HBO in the last few weeks. Like, stuff you could never, ever say on television now, even if it was late in Safe Harbor. Oh, I hate these times we live in, Arcan. I truly do. Oh, it makes me so mad.
Did you see the
TD Bank thing?
TD Bank thing?
Oh, my God. Yeah, no. Like, we apologize to the city of Dorchester because of an ad? The dumbest time to be alive. I stand by that. I tweet it often. Every once in a while, there's a story. I'm like, I can't help myself. It's the dumbest time to be alive. It really is. I don't know when the other times would be, but for me, we just get dumber as a society worldwide, but especially in this country, by the day. Just as an aside, if you haven't heard yet, apparently the Mueller report is in. Oh, I'm sure you got him this time, guys. Yeah, you'll get him now, as he skates away again. But you can catch that later when you're home. You want to actually pay attention. News, we do sports here. Pretty much, goofy stuff. So you want to call about that, have at it on Agenda Free Friday, 617-779-0985. Mike Trout, his big deal. Frank and Quincy wanted to talk about that. Hey, Frank.
Hey, guys. I heard you talking about it at the beginning of the show today. Just wanted to call in and talk about it right now. I agree, Murray, that the guy's completely vanilla. He's boring. He's a terrible face for baseball. But, like, just why would you want to leave L.A.? I mean, he's coming into his prime, probably has 6-7 more years in his prime. I don't know anything about the Angels farm system, but it has to be pretty good because they've been garbage for so many years. And he's like a D-list celebrity in L.A., where if he came to a Boston, a Philly, a New York, he'd immediately be the most recognized face in the town.
I will say it's a little different in New York. I mean, Derek Jeter is proof of this. Yeah, look how much that guy slayed for years, and really all we get out of that is like the stories of the gift baskets, allegedly, that he sent.
Which is an amazing story, by the way.
Like, here, yes, you would be a legitimate celebrity. I mean, it can probably be insufferable for some of these professional athletes at times, and how, you know, much people care, how much we talk about it, and how in the spotlight they are. In New York, it's not as big as you think, because there's real celebrities there. There's
That's true. Movie stars
walking around. There's models walking around, like... Athletes in New York, I don't know, like, in terms of sports media, yeah, the spotlight is truly on them and the pressure could be a lot, but I don't know, general people just walking around, like, I don't think people really care.
Not so much, but I mean, like, you know, David Wells in New York used to get in bar fights every weekend. you know what I mean? Like, it sort of depends what kind of guy you are. Derek Jeter did it right. Derek Jeter had, like, a whole system. You know, he had, like, his butler drive him home with the gift baskets and all this stuff. Like, you know, they had to turn their phones in when they walked in. Like, no one was allowed to take any pictures or see where he lived or any of that stuff. Like, Jeter did that right. As far as Mike Trout's concerned, you know, it's the Angels. It's L.A. There's a lot more going on there. And it's not all crowded together. Like, in New York, you're right on top of everybody. You know, everybody's sort of just all crammed together. You're going to see people. In L.A., you know, you might not see the other end of the city for months at a time. Like, you know, it's that sprawled out. So I don't know. I mean, I just don't think they care as much out there, first of all. And Mike Trout doesn't seem to care either, because he's a New Jersey guy? Is he from Jersey or Philadelphia?
Philadelphia.
Like, okay. Yeah. So, you know, clearly that's not as important to him. He's just, you know, wants to make his money and go out there, live in LA, not have to deal with all the hassles and headaches of being a big time A-list celebrity like that and still getting paid $500 million. Mike Trout did it perfectly. If that's what he cares about, he cares about winning. Not so much, but if he cares about that aspect of it, the lifestyle, mwah.
Yeah, that,
can't get better.
That, to me, that's the thing that just shows, like, I don't know, lack of intestinal fortitude. If I was in his shoes and I really cared about winning, I wanted to be in the bigger market and give myself a real opportunity to win a World Series championship or two or three, I would have went to a real market like a New York or Philly or Boston to stay with the Angels. Or even if you want to stay in L.A. and California, go to the Dodgers. But the Anaheim Angels, like, blech. They're as boring and bleh and as irrelevant as he is in the national sports landscape. Like, hardcore baseball nerds, I get why your pants off for the guy. Infinitely talented. He's this generation's Mickey Mantle. Yeah, without any of, like, the fun stuff. Oh, what a bore, Mike Trout. Like, good for you. Hey, great. $500 million. You're infinitely talented. Does he put asses in seats? No. Look at his YouTube clips. He can't even fill his own damn stadium.
The other thing about it, though, is, like, while Mike Trout is extremely boring, like, I'll give you all of that, there's nothing really exciting about him. Major League Baseball is so pee poor at promoting their stars. It's unbelievable. Like, they're all these new rules and stuff that are going on this year, especially that home run derby thing. Like, oh, we're going to give an extra $1 million to the person who wins the home run derby. Mike Trout's going to laugh in their face. $1 million. Did you see what I just signed for? Try $1 billion, buddy. Then maybe I'll show up. Like, that's what we're talking about. And Major League Baseball is just so bad at this. And they have been for, like, what, 15 years? Really, like, who's a star that's come out since then that's really sort of taken the sports world by storm since, you know, David Ortiz and Derek Jeter retired? There's nobody.
No, there really
They're
isn't.
So bad at it. It sucks.
So all that being said, you guys pumped for the season? I teased this earlier. Quick little roundtable. As, you know, the season's already started. You have these games played in Japan, and the Red Sox season will start in Seattle. Your expectations for the Red Sox this year, and, you know, like, let's gauge your interest in Major League Baseball overall in the Red Sox coming season. Arcan, start with you. What are your expectations for the Sox, and are you pumped?
Yeah, I'm actually sort of excited for this season, not because I feel like they had any big rollout or because, you know, Major League Baseball is doing a good job of building any expectations for it. I just sort of look at this team and the Red Sox. The Red Sox and the Yankees are both going to be good again. Like, I like that. I like that there's going to be, you know, a season that's going to get people into it. And, again, I think the Red Sox are going to be as strong as they were last year. I know they don't have a closer and their bullpen's not that good. It wasn't that good last season, and they still just decimated everybody in their path. I'm not sure it's going to be that kind of exact season where they're just dominant from start to finish, but the fact that it could be, I think, is exciting, and, you know, I'm sort of here for that. I'm really more into it for the Red Sox and the Yankee rivalry. That's what I care the most about, and I think that'll still be intact, so that's what I want to see.
Bloodless McCone, you just want to see fights?
Yeah, exactly. That's all I want, just bench-clearing brawls. No, look, I think the Red Sox are going to be right there. No, I can't do it yet. I can't get fired up for the Red Sox season yet. I just can't.
Yeah, me either. I'm not, in the interest of full disclosure, not super pumped that an extra hour gets added coming Monday for the kid. You know, I'm not super pumped to be talking about baseball before the games even start for the Red Sox. But eventually I will get into it like it always does. I think that the season's far too long. I know I'm not alone in feeling that way. But just in terms of the expectations for the Sox, though, McCone, do you think they can repeat?
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. I think they're going to be right there in the American League again. I don't know if it's the off season now and just like the lack of like buzz around some of the moves and stuff. There's just no buzz in general around Major League Baseball off season. So I feel like there's just been such a huge change from those, like, that 04 to 07 range when you just like needed a Red Sox game every night and lived and breathed with every pitch, to now where it's just, all right, yeah, they're going to be there at the end, and we'll see in October.
Yeah, and a lot of it, I think, has to do with how down the American League is overall.
That's a great point, yeah.
It's
yeah.
like, you know, you look at the schedule at times where it's like back-to-back, like the Royals and Orioles, like, oh, my God, I want to put my head in the oven. Oh, Jesus. But you got to watch them because you got to talk about them, and, of course, you know, this is, especially when you get into the dog days of summer, there's nothing else going on.
Right.
I do expect that, like, I obviously, like other people, have real concerns about that bullpen. That I can't see how that ultimately doesn't end up biting them in the ass. But, hey, and believe you me, I got the WD-40 ready to go to grease up the wheel of gutless bums and to add those new names. But they're essentially returning the same team. They're loaded. They have great starting pitching, maybe the best in all of baseball. They should be there at the end. I expect them to, you know, have a real legitimate chance to repeat. The other thing, though, is and the Yankees will be better. Don't sleep on the Rays. Do people forget they won 90 games last year?
Like, they did.
I don't expect them to truly compete to win the American League East. They'll be a pain in the ass. Like, that team was pretty damn good, especially in the second half last year. They should be good for 90-ish wins again.
Yeah, that's a great point. The Rays and their, you know, lack of starting pitching and just throwing the relievers out there, that could be another interesting twist to this season as the game sort of evolves. But one other reason why I think the Red Sox will still be good is because what other team did anything? What other team made any sort of acquisition? You had to wait until the entire offseason was over for Manny Machado to go to the Padres, yeah. who won, like, what, 60 games last year? And Bryce Harper's in the Phillies. Nobody went to the American League. None of these teams did squat. So, yeah, I'm feeling pretty good about the Red Sox. How could you not?
Jason in Weymouth, what are your expectations for the Sox?
I think they win the AL East, but I don't think that they repeat. I think the pressure is just going to be too much. I don't think Sale is going to be able to do what he did last year. I just the big contract that he's got now is just a lot of pressure for him to really be able to continue to deliver. And then you have the pressure of not re-signing Mookie Betts with all these major contracts going on and not re-signing Mookie. I mean, that would create a little bit of buzz, and that guy can definitely function under pressure. But I don't see them getting out of the ALCS. I think Houston takes it this year.
All right. Oh, yeah. I know. Right. Hey, how could we forget? So, yeah, Houston there, too. And I'm sure that they still get a hair across their ass about, you know, the way that they ended up losing the ALCS. And they talk, you know what? And they deserve to lose that thing. The Red Sox were the better team, and they talk too much crap. Alex Bregman, get the hell out of here. Steve in North Attleboro on a Patriots with a Patriots thought. Hey, Steve.
Hey, guys. Thanks for taking the call. So, clearly the Patriots aren't doing anything at the offseason for receivers and free agency. But, that last pick in the draft, I think they could pick up Paris Campbell from Ohio State. I think he'd be a great fit in the Pats organization. I'll let you guys talk about that and hang out.
Thanks, Steve. I am not against them, even though they've never done it before in the Bill Belichick era, taking a wide receiver with that 32nd pick. Paris Campbell out of Ohio State. Maybe DK Metcalf could be there around that point, although he'd probably be gone at that point. Who knows? You look at some of these mocks, depending on where they are. Either way, I'm not against it, even though they haven't had success drafting wide receivers. Some haven't worked out. Malcolm Mitchell, it was because of the injury. They nailed him, I thought, but unfortunately, knee issue. But I don't know, like, go with the talent. You have a better chance of actually hitting on someone at that point in the draft. I'm not against it, especially if they're not going to be able to make a trade for a guy and all that's left in free agency is scraps like, you know, Michael Crabtree or Jordy Nelson. Are you?
Yeah, that's really, that in terms of positions of need, that's basically it. You could go linebacker, I guess. You could maybe try and, draft the next Trey Flowers or somebody who can really rush the passer on the line there. But you also have Michael Bennett, who just came in and may not need to waste a pick on somebody like that. But yeah, really, it just comes down to me to wide receiver, inside linebacker, and, defensive lineman, those three. And you can knock all those out before you even get to the third round.
I also don't hate the idea of them using that 32nd pick on a tight end. I saw there was photos of Bill Belichick shaking hands with Irv Smith Jr., the tight end in Alabama at their pro day. Like, fine. Like, because especially if you don't know that Gronk's going to be back, or even if you do, and he wants someone to take the load off of him, well, he was a hell of a pass catcher there for Alabama. Didn't have a good championship game, but still, he should be around that point. I think it might have even been Phil Perry in his mock draft on NBC Sports has him taking him in the second round. So, yes, wide receiver, tight end, areas of need for the Patriots in the draft. One segment to go. That's the final word as we wrap up the week here on Felger and Mass.
Stay tuned for more Felger and Mass on 98.5, the Sports Hub. BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Picking five of Carrie Underwood's best music videos was no easy task, but after some debate, we landed on five we believe rise to the top. Did Carrie's 2014 hit Something in the Water make our top five? Find out when you text Carrie to 45911 and scroll through the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Carrie to 45911 to get your eyes on our favorite Carrie Underwood music videos.
We having technical difficulties back there, Stu?
My commercial system just crashed.
All right, so what's that mean? Do we have to read the commercials
live? That
means
it's time for the final word, and it's brought to you by Tim McCone.
Town Fair Tire. You know, Jimmy, Town Fair Tire looking for the best deal on tires. There is only one place to go, Town Fair Tire. The best prices and great free services. Nobody beats Town Fair Tire.
Nobody. Are there any sponsors we got to get caught up with? I can try to, wing it and do their commercials live if you'd like, Jason.
No. It was just the final word open that would be playing now. But we've got to get everything going here before the top of the hour.
Between everybody who's working right now, it's the board that cut out early.
Yeah, and it's not Jay Stu's fault. I mean, it's these sea-sucking computers, as I've referred to them as before. It's just all a matter of time. And I heard this thing. There was some blips. Coming back from some of these commercials, Jimmy. So it was all a matter of time before this was going to happen. So, you'll get it figured out, as will the engineers. But we rely far too much on these damn things nowadays. Either way, McCone, what do we have in the final word today?
Well, it is Friday, which means you're going to get some squeaky Maz. Maz obviously is not here, so we're going to go with some best of squeaky Maz for you on this Friday.
Stephen Bilrica, go ahead, please.
All right. This question is to Maz and Maz only. So, Maz, don't look for help. Per order of Felger.
Per order of Felger.
our number one receiver, Edelman, 32 years old, coming off of steroids and an ACL tear. Gordon coming up with a hamstring and a hangover. Dorsett, who can't make the field for Indy, and Hogan, an average number three. A rookie running back coming off of multiple knee problems. Right? A patchwork offensive line with the blindside tackle for Brady. That's basically useless.
Oh, he's been good. Trent Brown's been good. I'm sorry. I'm jumping in.
Just go!
All right. Sorry. Hear me out for the end. This is a question. Multiple choice for Maz and Maz alone.
Maz alone must answer now.
Has Brady overachieved to this point, or is he just that much better at the age of 41 than quarterbacks like Rodgers or anybody else in the league?
Okay, so you're asking two different questions, Steve. To this stage in his career, of course he's gone on longer than anybody thought he would. But at the same time, the way you rattle it off, he's playing out there with the Sisters of the Poor. So you're telling me Edelman's of no use to him. And Hogan's completely useless, because I'll find you some comments where Hogan was open, according to Greg Bedard and Greg Bedard of Boston Sports Journal. So Hogan to me is at times should be a guy that he can go to. And did you see his third down throw to White yesterday on the sideline when White was open?
How about the slant to White on the first or second series where Brady threw it a yard?
Brady's not accountable for anything. Okay, that's all. In that guy's mind, Brady's untouchable. To which I would say, what are we even having the conversation for then? So I'm not telling you Brady's the biggest problem on the team. He wasn't good yesterday, though. There were a lot of bad throws. And you know what I'm going to do just for you? I am going to go online, look them all up, and we'll stick them on our Facebook page for you tomorrow just so you can see them. How do you like that?
Steve.
All right, hear me out for the end. This is a question, multiple choice, for Maz and Maz alone.
Just go!
Per order of Felda.
The guys will be back on Monday. That will wrap up a week of shows with me in the A-hole chair. Jim Murray signing off. Kristen Arkham, pleasure to do a show with you today.
Ditto.
We also had fun with McCone the last couple of days. Try not to beat anybody up over the weekend there, McCone.
Yeah, do my best. I'll do my best.
In fact, you'll be with me tomorrow with Gasper and I. Yep. Yeah. Chris Gasper returns as we're going to do our show 11 to 2 tomorrow. Jimmy Stewart, Billy Lanny, enjoy your weekends as well. Great job behind the glass there. Hopefully you're getting the technical difficulties figured out. If you still need me to riff here for a minute and you're trying to figure it out, let me just say, because with the crap weather, if you're going to stay in tonight, if you're into documentaries like I am, I don't know how you feel about the Marquand. Typically, with documentaries, for me, the darker, the better.
I'm with you on that, yeah.
I also, purposely watch ones I know will make me mad. And if you feel the same way, then you have to do yourself a favor and watch American Meme on Netflix. Have either of you watched this?
No.
I saw it on Netflix, but I haven't watched it.
Oh.
I saw that it was there.
This movie, I swear, was made to, put someone like me in a mental hospital. It came out last year, apparently. I didn't know about it. I was flipping around. I was like, oh, this looks interesting. But no two words make me mad, like Instagram celebrity or YouTube celebrity. In fact, it's the
influencer?
Only...
Influencer?
Well, that one, too. Yeah. It's the only reason I want to have children. I don't want kids, but I want to have kids so I can have them grow up and so I can teach them. They're not stars. Stars are in movies, real movies, and stars are in real TV shows. I know that makes me feel old and sound old. I don't care. If you're like that and you feel that way and you hate Instagram influencers, watch this movie. It'll make you hate everything. Oh, my God. I watched it, and I was like, red-faced mad. It's that kind of documentary, and I can't recommend it enough.
I like the Fire Festival documentaries for reason.
Oh, the same thing.
Because all those people got their comeuppance and had to eat those cheese sandwiches and do Lord of the Flies with the tents.
And
that was great.
And so that's the kind of, I don't want to give too much away, but this is the kind of the rub. The movie is also made to try to make you feel bad about these influences, like when the internet turns on them, and I was just like, good. Get a real job. Hey, we have Joe Murray coming up next. Hey, Joe. Uh-oh, technical difficulties. Is the mic not working? What's happening? Is everything freaking out to me?
There he is.
Hey, Joe.
Hey, guys. I call it famous for being famous. Like Kim Kardashian, right? She's famous for being famous.
Well, yeah.
She might have been
She basically did a porno.
Yeah, but before that, people knew who the Kardashians were.
Mm. True.
You know, Robert Kardashian, whatever. I did watch the Michael Jackson documentary. I know you saw that, Jim. See, that didn't bother me as bad as the R. Kelly one. The R. Kelly one bothered the hell out of me. Seeing a woman outside of, like, have you seen that?
I haven't seen it yet, but I know some of the sort of details. Like, he would hang out at that rock and roll McDonald's to meet in high schools to try to meet young girls. Like, he's a creep.
That one bothered the hell out of me. But yeah, seeing the Michael Jackson one.
You'll never hear PYT the same way again.
Hold on. I'm here for 5 hours tonight. So why don't you guys get the hell out of here and enjoy your weekend.
Bye. What are you starting with?
Chris Sale.
All right.
Scratched.
Joe Murray's coming up next. If you want to join him, 617-779-0985. We're out. Enjoy the rest of your weekends. Bye.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most of us, Keith Urban also has a bucket list. You may be surprised to learn what is and is not on his. Text Keith to 45911 to read and learn more about the central theme of Keith's bucket list. Get a link to the story sent right to your phone when you text Keith to 45911. Go inside country music at BackstageCountry.com.